2 Samuel 9 through 11. Then David said, "Is there anyone still left of the house of Saul, so that I could show him kindness for Jonathan's sake?" Now there was a servant of the house of Saul, whose name was Ziba, and they summoned him to David. And the king said to him, "Are you Ziba?" And he said, "I am your servant." Then the king said, "Is there no one remaining of the house of Saul to whom I could show the kindness of God?" And Ziba said to the king, "There is still a son of Jonathan, one who is disabled in both feet." So the king said to him, "Where is he?" And Ziba said to the king, "Behold, he is in the house of Machir, the son of Ammiel, in Lo-Debar." Then King David sent messengers who brought him from the house of Machir, the son of Ammiel, from Lo-Debar. Mephibosheth, the son of Jonathan, the son of Saul, came to David and fell on his face and prostrated himself. And David said, "Mephibosheth," and he said, "Here is your servant." Then David said to him, "Do not be afraid, for I will assuredly show kindness to you for the sake of your father Jonathan, and I will restore you to all the land of your grandfather Saul, and you yourself shall eat at my table regularly." Again he prostrated himself, and said, "What is your servant, that you should be concerned about a dead dog like me?" Then the king summoned Saul's servant Ziba, and said to him, "Everything that belonged to Saul and to all his house I have given to your master's grandson. You and your sons and your servants shall cultivate the land for him, and you shall bring in the produce so that your master's grandson will have food to eat. Nevertheless, Mephibosheth, your master's grandson, shall eat at my table regularly." Now Ziba had 15 sons and 20 servants. Then Ziba said to the king, "In accordance with everything that my lord the king commands his servant, so your servant will do." So Mephibosheth ate at David's table as one of the king's sons. Mephibosheth had a young son whose name was Micah, and all who lived in the house of Ziba were servants to Mephibosheth. So Mephibosheth lived in Jerusalem because he ate at the king's table regularly, and he was disabled in his two feet. Now it happened afterward that the king of the Ammonites died, and his son Hanun became king in his place. Then David said, "I will show kindness to Hanun the son of Nahash, just as his father showed kindness to me." So David sent some of his servants to console him about his father. But when David's servants came to the land of the Ammonites, the commanders of the Ammonites said to their lord Hanun, "Do you think that David is simply honoring your father since he has sent your servants to console you? Has David not sent his servants to you in order to explore the city, to spy it out, and overthrow it?" So Hanun took David's servants and shaved off half of their beards, and cut off their robes in the middle as far as their buttocks, and sent them away. When messengers informed David, he sent servants to meet them, because the men were extremely humiliated. And the king said, "Stay in Jericho until your beards grow back, and then you shall return." Now when the sons of Ammon saw that they had become repulsive to David, the sons of Ammon sent messengers and hired the Arameans of Beth Rehob and the Arameans of Zobah, 20,000 foot soldiers, and the king of Makkah with 1,000 men, and the men of Tob with 12,000 men. When David heard about this, he sent Joab and all the army, the warriors. And the sons of Ammon came out and lined up for battle at the entrance of the city, while the Arameans of Zobah and of Rehob and the men of Tob and Makkah were stationed by themselves in the field. Now when Joab saw that the battle was set against him at the front and at the rear, he selected warriors from all the choice men in Israel, and lined them up against the Arameans. But the remainder of the people he placed under the command of his brother Abishai, and he lined them up against the sons of Ammon. And he said, "If the Arameans are too strong for me, then you shall help me. But if the sons of Ammon are too strong for you, then I will come to help you. Be strong, and let's show ourselves courageous for the sake of our people and the cities of our God. And may the Lord do what is good in his sight." So Joab and the people who were with him advanced to the battle against the Arameans, and they fled from him. When the sons of Ammon saw that the Arameans had fled, They also fled from Abishai and entered the city. Then Joab returned from fighting against the sons of Ammon and came to Jerusalem. When the Arameans saw that they had been defeated by Israel, they assembled together. And Hadadezer sent word and brought out the Arameans who were beyond the Euphrates River. And they came to Helam, and Shobak, the commander of the army of Hadadezer, led them. Now, when it was reported to David, he gathered all Israel together and crossed the Jordan, and came to Helam. And the Arameans lined up against David and fought him. But the Arameans fled from Israel. And David killed 700 charioteers of the Arameans and 40,000 horsemen, and struck Shobak, the commander of their army, and he died there. When all the kings, servants of Hadadezer, saw that they had been defeated by Israel, they made peace with Israel and served them. So the Arameans were afraid to help the sons of Ammon any more. Then it happened in the spring, at the time when kings go out to battle, that David sent Joab and his servants with him and all Israel, and they brought destruction on the sons of Ammon and besieged Rabbah. But David stayed in Jerusalem. Now at evening time, David got up from his bed and walked around on the roof of the king's house, and from the roof he saw a woman bathing, and the woman was very beautiful in appearance. So David sent servants and inquired about the woman, and someone said, "Is this not Bathsheba, the daughter of Eliam, the wife of Uriah the Hittite?" Then David sent messengers and had her brought, and when she came to him, he slept with her. And when she had purified herself from her uncleanness, she returned to her house. But the woman conceived. So she sent word and informed David, and said, "I am pregnant." Then David sent word to Joab, "Send me Uriah the Hittite." So Joab sent Uriah to David. When Uriah came to him, David asked about Joab's well-being, and that of the people, and the condition of the war. Then David said to Uriah, "Go down to your house and wash your feet." So Uriah left the king's house, and a gift from the king was sent after him. But Uriah slept at the door of the king's house with all the servants of his lord, and did not go down to his house. When they informed David, saying, "Uriah did not go down to his house," David said to Uriah, "Did you not come from a journey? Why did you not go down to your house?" And Uriah said to David, "The ark and Israel and Judah are staying in temporary shelters, and my lord Joab and the servants of my lord are camping in the open field. Should I then go to my house to eat and drink and sleep with my wife? By your life and the life of your soul, I will not do this thing." Then David said to Uriah, "Stay here today also, and tomorrow I will let you go back." So Uriah remained in Jerusalem that day, and the day after. David summoned Uriah, and he ate and drank in his presence, and he made Uriah drunk. And in the evening Uriah went out to lie on his bed with his lord's servants, and he did not go down to his house. So in the morning David wrote a letter to Joab, and sent it by the hand of Uriah. He had written in the letter the following: "Station Uriah on the front line of the fiercest battle, and pull back from him, so that he may be struck and killed." So it was as Joab kept watch on the city that he stationed Uriah at the place where he knew there were valiant men. And the men of the city went out and fought against Joab, and some of the people among David's servants fell, and Uriah the Hittite also died. Then Joab sent a messenger and reported to David all the events of the war. He ordered the messenger, saying, "When you have finished telling all the events of the war to the king, then it shall be that if the king's wrath rises, and he says to you, 'Why did you move against the city to fight? Did you not know that they would shoot from the wall? Who struck Abimelech, the son of Jerubbesheth? Did a woman not throw an upper millstone on him from the wall so that he also died at Thebes? Why did you move against the wall?' Then you shall say, 'Your servant Uriah the Hittite also died.'" So the messenger departed and came and reported to David everything that Joab had sent him to tell. The messenger said to David, "The men prevailed against us, and came out against us in the field, but we pressed them as far as the entrance of the gate. Also, the archers shot at your servants from the wall, so some of the king's servants died, and your servant Uriah the Hittite also died. Then David said to the messenger, "This is what you shall say to Joab. Do not let this thing displease you, for the sword devours one as well as another. Fight with determination against the city, overthrow it, and thereby encourage him." Now when Uriah's wife heard that her husband Uriah was dead, she mourned for her husband. When the time of mourning was over, David sent servants, and had her brought to his house, and she became his wife. Then she bore him a son. But the thing that David had done was evil in the sight of the Lord. Luke 10. Now, after this, the Lord appointed 72 others, and sent them in pairs ahead of him to every city and place where he himself was going to come. And he was saying to them, "The harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. Therefore, plead with the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into his harvest. Go, behold, I am sending you out like lambs in the midst of wolves. Carry no money belt, no bag, no sandals, and greet no one along the way. And whatever house you enter, first say, 'Peace be to this house.' And if a man of peace is there, your peace will rest upon him. But if not, it will return to you. Stay in that house, eating and drinking what they provide, for the laborer is deserving of his wages. Do not move from house to house. Whatever city you enter and they receive you, eat what is served to you, and heal those in it who are sick, and say to them, 'The kingdom of God has come near to you.' But whatever city you enter and they do not receive you, go out into its streets and say, 'Even the dust of your city which clings to our feet, we wipe off in protest against you. Yet be sure of this, that the kingdom of God has come near. I say to you, it will be more tolerable on that day for Sodom than for that city. Woe to you, Chorazin! Woe to you, Bethsaida! For if the miracles that occurred in you had occurred in Tyre and Sidon, they would have repented long ago, sitting in sackcloth and ashes. But it will be more tolerable for Tyre and Sidon in the judgment than for you. And you, Capernaum, will not be exalted to heaven, will you? You will be brought down to Hades. The one who listens to you listens to me, and the one who rejects you rejects me. But the one who rejects me rejects the one who sent me." Now the 72 returned with joy, saying, "Lord, even the demons are subject to us in your name." And he said to them, "I watched Satan fall from heaven like lightning. Behold, I have given you authority to walk on snakes and scorpions, and authority over all the power of the enemy, and nothing will injure you. Nevertheless, do not rejoice in this, that the spirits are subject to you, but rejoice that your names are recorded in heaven." At that very time, he rejoiced greatly in the Holy Spirit, and said, "I praise you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, that you have hidden these things from the wise and intelligent, and have revealed them to infants. Yes, Father, for doing so was pleasing in your sight. All things have been handed over to me by my Father, and no one knows who the Son is except the Father, and who the Father is except the Son, and anyone to whom the Son determines to reveal to him." Turning to the disciples, he said privately, "Blessed are the eyes that see the things you see. For I tell you that many prophets and kings wanted to see the things that you see, and did not see them, and to hear the things that you hear, and did not hear them. And behold, a lawyer stood up and put him to the test, saying, 'Teacher, what shall I do to inherit eternal life?' And he said to him, 'What is written in the law? How does it read to you?' And he answered, 'You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, and with all your soul, and with all your strength, and with all your mind, and your neighbor as yourself.' And he said to him, 'You have answered correctly. Do this, and you will live.' But wanting to justify himself, he said to Jesus, 'And who is my neighbor?' Jesus replied and said, 'A man was going down from Jerusalem to Jericho, and he encountered robbers, and they stripped him and beat him, and went away, leaving him half dead. And by coincidence, a priest was going down on that road, and when he saw him, he passed by on the other side. Likewise, a Levite also. When he came to the place and saw him, he passed by on the other side. But a Samaritan, who was on a journey, came upon him. And when he saw him, he felt compassion, and came to him, and bandaged up his wounds, pouring oil and wine on them. And he put him on his own animal, and brought him to an inn, and took care of him. On the next day, he took out 2 denarii and gave them to the innkeeper, and said, "Take care of him, and whatever more you spend, when I return, I will repay you." Which of these 3 do you think proved to be a neighbor to the man who fell into the robber's hands? And he said, "The one who showed compassion to him." Then Jesus said to him, "Go and do the same." Now, as they were traveling along, he entered a village, and a woman named Martha welcomed him into her home. And she had a sister called Mary, who was also seated at the Lord's feet, and was listening to his word. But Martha was distracted with all her preparations, and she came up to him and said, "Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me to do the serving by myself? Then tell her to help me." But the Lord answered and said to her, "Martha, Martha, you are worried and distracted by many things, but only one thing is necessary. For Mary has chosen the good part, which shall not be taken away from her." 1 Peter 2. Therefore, rid yourselves of all malice and all deceit and hypocrisy and envy and all slander, and like newborn babies, long for the pure milk of the word, so that by it you may grow in respect to salvation, if you have tasted the kindness of the Lord. And coming to him as to a living stone, which has been rejected by people, but is choice and precious in the sight of God, you also, as living stones, are being built up as a spiritual house for a holy priesthood, to offer spiritual sacrifices that are acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. For this is contained in Scripture: "Behold, I am laying in Zion a choice stone, a precious cornerstone, and the one who believes in him will not be put to shame." This precious value, then, is for you who believe. But for unbelievers, a stone which the builders rejected, this became the chief cornerstone, and a stone of stumbling and a rock of offense. For they stumbled because they are disobedient to the word, and to this they were also appointed. But you are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people for God's own possession, so that you may proclaim the excellences of him who has called you out of the darkness into his marvelous light. For you once were not a people, but now you are the people of God. You had not received mercy, but now you have received mercy. Beloved, I urge you as foreigners and strangers to abstain from fleshly lusts, which wage war against the soul. Keep your behavior excellent among the Gentiles, so that in the thing in which they slander you as evildoers, they may, because of your good deeds, as they observe them, glorify God on the day of visitation. Submit yourselves for the Lord's sake to every human institution, whether to a king as the one in authority, or to governors as sent by him for the punishment of evildoers and the praise of those who do right. For such is the will of God, that by doing right you silence the ignorance of foolish people. Act as free people, and do not use your freedom as a covering for evil, but use it as bondservants of God. Honor all people, love the brotherhood, fear God, honor the king. Servants, be subject to your masters with all respect, not only to those who are good and gentle, but also to those who are harsh. For this finds favor, if for the sake of conscience toward God a person endures grief when suffering unjustly. For what credit is there if, when you sin and are harshly treated, you endure it with patience? But if, when you do what is right and suffer for it, you patiently endure it, this finds favor with God. For you have been called for this purpose, because Christ also suffered for you, leaving you an example so that you would follow his steps. He who committed no sin, nor was any deceit found in his mouth, and while being abusively insulted, He did not insult in return while suffering. He did not threaten, but kept entrusting himself to him who judges righteously. And he himself brought our sins in his body up on the cross, so that we might die to sin and live for righteousness. By his wounds you were healed, for you were continually straying like sheep, but now you have returned to the shepherd and guardian of your souls. Proverbs 19:20-29. Listen to advice and accept discipline, so that you may be wise the rest of your days. Many plans are in a person's heart, but the advice of the Lord will stand. What is desirable in a person is his kindness, and it is better to be a poor person than a liar. The fear of the Lord leads to life, so that one may sleep satisfied, untouched by evil. The lazy one buries his hand in the dish, but will not even bring it back to his mouth. Strike a scoffer, and the naive may become clever. But rebuke one who has understanding, and he will gain knowledge. He who assaults his father and drives his mother away is a shameful and disgraceful son. Stop listening, my son, to discipline, and you will stray from the words of knowledge. A worthless witness makes a mockery of justice, and the mouth of the wicked swallows wrongdoing. Judgments are prepared for scoffers, and beatings for the backs of fools. Psalm 119:65-80. You have treated your servant well, Lord, according to your word. Teach me good discernment and knowledge, for I believe in your commandments. Before I was afflicted, I went astray, but now I keep your word. You are good and you do good. Teach me your statutes. The arrogant have forged a lie against me. With all my heart I will comply with your precepts. Their heart is insensitive like fat, but I delight in your law. It is good for me that I was afflicted, so that I may learn your statutes. The law of your mouth is better to me than thousands of gold and silver pieces. Your hands made me and fashioned me. Give me understanding, so that I may learn your commandments. May those who fear you see me and be glad, because I wait for your word. I know, Lord, that your judgments are righteous, and that you have afflicted me in faithfulness. May your favor comfort me, according to your word to your servant. May your compassion come to me so that I may live, for your law is my delight. May the arrogant be put to shame, because they lead me astray with a lie. But I shall meditate on your precepts. May those who fear you turn to me, and those who know your testimonies. May my heart be blameless in your statutes, so that I will not be ashamed.